This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a focused look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today on Deadline is looking at the New York State Court of Appeals and its ruling that Harvey Weinstein, the former disgraced media mogul, did not receive a fair trial in 2020. His landmark conviction was overturned. Many people were stunned when the case that launched the Me Too era was tossed out. How did it happen, and why did it happen? Let's set up the timeline. Weinstein, who entered the media world in the 1970s, grew to be one of the top media executives in Hollywood. He co-founded Miramax, which produced iconic films, including Pulp Fiction, The Lord of the Rings trilogy, Good Will Hunting, Scream, and dozens more. By that short list alone, you can already tell that Weinstein was a powerhouse in the filmmaking industry. But his empire came crashing down in 2017 when allegations surfaced that he had sexually assaulted, harassed, or raped more than a dozen women from coast to coast. The fact that a predator had hidden in plain sight for so long shook the country, and it helped the Me Too movement rise to national attention. Victims in corporate America, the movie industry, TV news, anywhere and everywhere were encouraged to come forward. In May 2018, a year after the first allegations came out against him, Weinstein was arrested and charged with rape in New York. 2 years later, in February 2020, he was found guilty of 2 of 5 felony counts brought against him and sentenced to 23 years in prison. But now, after what the New York court called egregious errors made by that trial's judge, many are now wondering what impact this will have on other victims. Kim Masters, who broke some of the earliest and biggest stories of Weinstein's transgressions for The Hollywood Reporter, joined Odyssey to discuss.
It's obviously very disheartening for many, many women and some men, too. So the question really is, what happens now in terms of the law and the culture? Harvey was convicted in Los Angeles, as you know, so he will not be walking free. The issue that was cited by the New York Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York, that's what they call their Supreme Court, it was a split decision 4-3. And of course, the issue was allowing women who were victims of prior bad acts to testify, which would show a pattern of behavior on Harvey's part. In California, there was such testimony. And of course, they will be turning to the California Supreme Court. The question legally to me is whether the California court is going to be more progressive than the appeals court in New York, which was split, as I said, I think 4-3, or will they somehow follow suit?
But as you know, Kim, in order to get to the point of a trial and for that process to unfold, you first have to have the victim come forward and testify or go to the police or whatever. And when women, and maybe men too, who look at this case in New York and might have had that kind of experience of being sexually abused, will they likely, do you think, now have maybe not just second and third, but maybe fourth and fifth, you know, rethinks of this about coming forward? Because they'll look at the case in New York and say, at the end of the day, was justice really done?
Right. Well, again, I think in New York right now, certainly I would think that would have a chilling effect on the willingness of some women to come forward, maybe in other states looking at this. Still here in California, we don't have an answer yet as to whether he will prevail on appeal. So we should just bear in mind he's not walking free.
Now the prosecutor has to decide whether to pursue a retrial, which leaves lots of questions about whether Weinstein would be met with the same verdict. Another key question is about the victims. Are they willing to put themselves through the harsh scrutiny of another trial? Gloria Allred represented several of the women who said they were assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. She shared her thoughts on a potential retrial with Odyssey in Los Angeles.
Let's talk about the reversal of the conviction in the New York case of Harvey Weinstein. First of all, your reaction to it.
Well, I represented the key prosecution witness, Mimi Haley, in the criminal case, People versus Weinstein in New York. Mr. Weinstein was convicted of criminal sexual assault of Mimi, and he was sentenced to 20 years for that charge conviction. So 20 years out of the 23-year sentence. I also represented two Me Too witnesses in that case who testified. So even though the process of testifying was grueling and re-traumatizing for Mimi, she did reaffirm to me today that she would consider testifying again if Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg decided to proceed with a new trial of Harvey Weinstein. And the New York Court of Appeals did say that they could proceed, that is, the DA could, with a new trial. So I do commend Mimi on her courage and her willingness to keep standing up for the truth. And the decision of the New York Court of Appeals today is a significant step backwards for the Me Too movement in criminal cases in New York. And the decision means that it will be more difficult to convict those who victimize women and prey on them. And as a result, fewer prosecutions will be brought against sexual predators, and many will escape the justice that they deserve. So although victims have lost this battle, they have not lost the war. We will continue to fight for justice for victims, both in criminal and civil cases, until there's a fair trial, not just for the accused, but also for those who allege that they are victims of sexual predators.
Laurie, do you think, though, that this decision in New York might have a freezing effect on other women who might now not want to come forward and testify because they may look at this case and say, well, you know, these other women came, they got the courage up, they did testify. It was grueling, I think, as you pointed out. Then it gets reversed and people perhaps who have a lot of money and power are able to accomplish that. Could it have an intimidating effect, do you think, going forward on other women in other cases?
It could. In New York, I do want to emphasize this is limited to New York. In California, we do allow Me Too witnesses. It's within the discretion of the court how many and which ones will be permitted to testify. There were Me Too witnesses who testified in the California criminal case against Mr. Weinstein. And that case, after he was convicted of one charge against one victim, he was sentenced to, I believe, 16 years in California. But that case is also on appeal, and we'll have to see whether the issue is decided differently if, as and when, it does reach the California Supreme Court, because this is not binding the New York Court of Appeals, which is like our Supreme Court, but is for New York. It's not binding on California. We'll have to see what happens here.
But it may not be legally binding, Gloria, but it does send, perhaps, does it not, a powerful negative signal?
It is, I will say, earth-shaking. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It isn't positive in any way. However, it's never been easy for us to make advances in either the criminal justice system or the civil justice system in any state. So we are just going to have to analyze this and see what can be done, if anything, through legislation in New York. I'm a licensed and practicing attorney in New York, as well as in California, as well as Washington, D.C. So I'm sure that there'll be many discussions with my colleagues in the Women's Caucus of the New York City Bar about what else we can propose to improve it for victims in New York. And that'll be a conversation that I have no doubt we'll have with our legislative committee.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. but trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The New York appellate court decision to overturn Weinstein's conviction was 4-3. The majority decided that the trial judge erred by letting three women testify about allegations that weren't part of the charges, and by permitting questions about Weinstein's history of, quote, bad behavior. In a dissenting opinion, Judge Madeline Singus wrote that the Court of Appeals was continuing a, quote, disturbing trend of overturning juries' guilty verdicts in cases involving sexual violence. She even went as far as to say that the decision came at the expense and safety of women. To break down the decision, former Manhattan prosecutor and Northwestern law professor Deborah Turkheimer joined Odyssey.
You're a former prosecutor. Do you think the original judge was right to allow that testimony, or was he wrong?
Well, you know, without kind of saying he was right or he was wrong, I think this is a really complicated question that comes up in sex crimes prosecutions. It comes up in domestic violence prosecutions. It comes up in other cases as well, of course. But in gender-based violence crimes, the question of patterns and the question of kind of these other acts witnesses is critical. And I say that because the credibility of the accusers is always central to the case. And frankly, we're not particularly good at judging the credibility of accusers. And when I say we, I mean people who judge credibility outside of the courtroom. I also mean law enforcement officers. I mean prosecutors. And I mean juries. And, you know, ultimately, it was for the jurors to decide the credibility of these witnesses. And prosecutors understandably felt like hearing from these other women strengthened the case, strengthened it a lot. So I absolutely understand why they made the arguments they did and why they did everything they could to get these other acts witnesses into the courtroom.
So the court has ordered a new trial for Weinstein here in New York. It sounds like you're a little skeptical that the prosecution's case will still be strong without those women from outside the case.
Well, it's certainly not going to be as strong. I think it's going to be very different if, in fact, the DA's office decides to retry Weinstein. And that decision, I would imagine, is very much contingent on the preferences of the women who would have to endure yet another trial and all that goes along with it. So, you know, if this case does get tried again, the evidence is going to look very different. And the credibility of those particular accusers and those accusers alone is going to be what decides the case.
Professor, your book is titled Credible, Why We Doubt Accusers and Protect Abusers. You touched on it a little bit already, but why do we do that here in 2024? Why do we still doubt so many of these rape and sexual assault accusers?
Well, we understand more than we used to about the realities of sexual assault, but I think that the stranger rape paradigm really continues to kind of occupy an important place in our collective understanding and imagination. And when I say that, I mean that most sexual assault doesn't happen in an alley. It doesn't happen with a weapon. The victim doesn't report right away. She may maintain contact with the abuser. And yet we're so stuck on the idea that the accuser behaves in a certain way, ought to behave in a certain way, that when the case looks different from that, we tend to be really skeptical of the allegations. And you're right to say that it's 2024 and we tend to think of ourselves as being more evolved on these credibility judgments. Yet, even so, these are deeply entrenched myths. These are deeply entrenched misconceptions. And it's going to take a long time for, I think, for them to completely dissipate and for us as a society to move past them.
Mimi Haley, a former production assistant on the Weinstein Company's show Project Runway, was considered one of the star witnesses in the 2020 trial. Haley delivered a graphic recount of her assault while on the stand, testifying that Weinstein had pinned her down and forced her into a sex act in 2006. He was convicted of forcibly performing oral sex on her and of third-degree rape for an attack on another aspiring actor in 2013. Now, after the court's decision, Haley has said she's willing to take the stand again, but she also said it wouldn't be easy to go through it. It involves so much re-traumatizing and rehashing and reliving over and over again, Haley said. Many experts say a decision on whether to have another trial will rest on whether the women will agree to testify again. Even though it would be hard, Haley said she would do it just for the sake of doing the right thing. And Weinstein? Well, he remains jailed no matter what happens in New York because he was convicted of similar incidents in California in 2022 and sentenced to another 16 years behind bars. He's also appealing that verdict. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.